Thanks for joining us today to hear our latest Hope Central podcast. We trust this message will help you know more about Jesus and inspire you to be more like him.
Cool. All right, let me start off. Sorry, I'm going to just get organized for a tad. Good to see you all. I was excited about the men's four-wheel drive, obviously, with my Yaris. And I'm sure I could fit another person in that car, maybe. It goes over all terrains. Well, all the terrains I've been on, at least. It's been pretty successful with that. All right, so guys, we're going to read before we pray. Hang on, this is all coming together as planned. Okay, so this is not quite planned. Here we go. All right. I know, right? Okay. Okay, if you have your Bible with you today, please turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Today we're going to be hopefully reading a chunk of scripture, and I want to apologise to the signing, because I understand that I'll make it pretty difficult, so let's see if we can bring some clarity. First of all, Ephesians 1, have we got it? Mm-hmm. Just Matthew, turn right. Here we go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, our sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. I want to establish something before we start, and this is about Jesus Christ. This is about Holy Spirit working in us. This is about us coming together and celebrating the one common factor that we can absolutely be assured with, and that is Jesus Christ has died for our sins, that he took away all of that, he was raised again, he is alive, and the Holy Spirit is active and absolutely consumed in us. And I want to actually encourage us, to challenge us today to come to an awareness, a presence of his awareness in our lives today. That's a bad sentence, but you'll get the hang of it by the time I finish. So we're going to pray. Father, I thank you for, first of all, who you are. I thank you that we sung songs that declare how awesome you are, your salvation and the hope we have in you. I thank you we sung about the Holy Spirit working and flowing through us. God, all of these are spoiler alerts. I thank you that you've affirmed and confirmed a lot of what my heart is for today. And I pray, Jesus, that as we step forward in courage, that we will pursue you, think about you, and be transformed by you, that we don't leave the same today. Jesus, let's celebrate you and you alone. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty. So what's my message about, hey? I did that, sorry. I have a vision. I have a personal vision that I want to share with you today. And my personal vision has been shaped and shifted over the years and becoming more and more refined, I guess, as I get hopefully a little wiser. And that vision is that I would like in my life to be actively present in being aware of God in my life in all things. Now, what does that mean? Like, I want God not only to be absolutely in me now because I need it, like there's nothing of me that's going to convince you or convey anything that Jesus seriously can do, But the idea is that even in the unknown and the unseen, the peripherals in my life, I want Jesus to be active in that. I want to be able to put word and deed to absolute effect where everything I do is going to be giving God glory. My personal vision is to actually be seen by God and be aware that He is seeing me in everything that I do. And that the beauty of what I guess express in the small things. I know I talked about coffee before. It'll probably happen again. But the idea of even the small processes of creating something that no one sees, acknowledges, I pray that God will actually receive joy from that. And then as an overflow, that people will then be able to respond and see and feel something different until I talk to them about Jesus as well. So I have a personal vision, and I'm not very good at it. I'm not there yet. I'll forget. The idea is that no matter what I try to do, I'll always get distracted. And there was one thing actually that really sparked a lot of my personal vision is when I was doing my music degree that I had a lecturer who said, look, there's something that's happening in Adelaide that is really bad. Right? This is an unchurched bass player lecturer. I'm a bass player. And if you do want to join the ranks of high musicianship, please talk to me afterwards. All you need is a few strings. You don't need too many. Anyway, the idea is that he said there's an Adelaide sound. And his vision was to get rid of it because the Adelaide sort of sound was limp and soft and slow and half-hearted and bland and beige. And he couldn't figure out why because he saw around him amazing potential. Musicians that he was actually instructing and talking to had all the things they needed to be equipped to play exciting, vibrant, extraordinary things. But he said, but we're settling for just something bland and yuck. And he said, the other thing too is that every time someone plays, they play with just the half-heartedness, that they're just doing the job, just getting by. And he set this challenge. He said, I want you to play every note as though it's your last. Every note. Now, for those who do appreciate jazz, like being a jazz bass player, you play all the time. Like at the minimum, you're playing like four notes in a bar. Sorry if that went over your heads, but you're playing all the time. And so I took this to heart and thought, all right, I don't want to be average. I don't want to be beige. I don't want to be the Adelaide norm. I want to be something that's going to make people feel something when I'm playing music. So I remember going to my practice rooms and I would spend the 3 hours that I had allotted to play as hard and as intense and as purposeful as I could. And I did that for ages, and I couldn't sustain it. I found that that's a lot of energy. Either I was mentally exhausted, my muscles, because, you know, it's a big instrument. I was extremely weary from trying so hard to put everything into anything and everything that I did. But there was something about it that really sparked a sense of wanting to keep doing this. Maybe it was just being active, trying more, I don't know, whatever it was. But I knew that if I tried hard, I could do it. But it did leave me really weary. The title of my message actually is Inspired or Exhausted. And I don't know about you, but I'm actually going to ask the question that are you inspired out of in breath field, or are you exhausted out of breath? Because I know that when I try real hard to actively pursue and do everything that I can for the glory of God, and then I look to see around me to see if people are noticing it, I start feeling tired. Oh my goodness, I've got so many stories about that, but I'm not going to get distracted today. And yes, maybe that is true, and you won't notice it if I do. But the idea is that it gets wearying. Life is wearying. There's so many people I hear who are just tired. I don't know about you, but I've encountered so many of my friends who are so active in churches, so active in communicating the gospel, who are no longer together with their partners, who no longer go to church, who are advocates against the church. In fact, try to find things like a new religion to celebrate the faults and fractures that people are going through. It's almost like the consumerist mentality that it's just been switched and people celebrate the death of people. It's crazy. I mean, I know that we get weary and I know it's difficult and tiring, but I want to actually provide, hopefully, some insight as to how to live a life that is fully pursuing God in the peripherals as well as the obvious as well. And like I said, this is not going to be a pretty sermon. I'm not a great, in a sense, preacher, but I do hope that Jesus, you communicate amazing things through us. So let's have a look. Inspired or expired? And Joe asked me to preach on this. The two things that I really love about this is inspiration is and exhaustion are the idea of breath. When you're inspired, it's an intake of breath. But when you're exhausted, it's an out of breath experience. And I want to know, like for you or for me, what is it that leaves us out of breath, but what is it too that infills us with breath? Let's have a look further. What have I got? Notes. To-do list. People ask me, how was your week? I'm sure you've had that already. And I'm wondering if you had the word, yeah, I'm busy, or I'm tired, or you got a list of all the different things that people have done. This is my week, all right? I'll give you my week. So I went to church last week. I also went and preached at a kids' camp from Monday to Wednesday, which was extraordinary. I want to talk about it. You've got no idea that I want to tell. Can I tell it? Shall I tell it? Can I be distracted? On the Monday, they asked me to preach on the armor of God. And so I thought, I just don't want to do a kid message. I don't want them to memorize a helmet, a breastplate, a sword. I want them to be active and absolutely empowered through the Holy Spirit. And so I started putting a message together. I don't normally do it this way when I'm talking on camps. I normally do the first two and then I sort of see where the land lies and then try to alter the message to suit where people are going. But this just didn't happen. I started in Ephesians 1 and I declared the gospel that today, Jesus, you are the Alpha, the Omega. You are the start, the finish. You are the reason why we're here. Salvation through Christ. We talked about how Jesus was actually our identifier and that the idea of who he is represented in us as in a family resemblance. On the night, we prayed against the darts, or we prayed against things that could hold people back. And I had 12-year-old kids asking for prayer against their anger issues and frustrations, and there was a release. It was really cool. On the next day, we talked about the armor of God, but I talked about it in terms of expect now that you're in Christ that you're going to have it difficult. The devil will throw things at you. He will come and approach you and will try to pull you down. He will try to encumber you with the weight of the world so that you will be out of breath. And then we prayed about what it is that God has through us that allows us to withstand the enemy. And that is, we have salvation. We have faith. We talked about the armor of God. And then we zipped down to the nighttime. And I was worried about this because I didn't have a message prepared. If you read like Ephesians 6, it goes straight into, we'll pray. Pray for the saints as well. And I thought, all right, this is a group of age 6 to 12, and I said to them, I got up and I said, guys, we're going to do something a little bit harder today and I want you to be courageous. In our groups, we're going to pray for each other. We did this as a leadership earlier this year where we'll have one person in the group stand in the middle and then we'll have for 1 minute people pray for, or the kids pray for that person, and then we'll keep going around until the group is finished. And I thought it's going to be about 10, 15 minutes. The largest group was 12. The youngest group had a group of 6. Anyway, someone came up to me when we were into it, and I wrote a couple of things up on the board: encourage, cheerlead, protect, ask for protection, all these sort of things. So the kids were using them as cues, and certainly after a little bit of time, they stopped using the cues. Because what happened next blew my mind. I didn't expect this. Sorry, I know Lockie stands here. I'll move away. I know Joe stands here, so it's no longer any. What happened is as the group started finishing, I said, look, guys, if you're going to pray for someone now, if you finish, go and look for another group. Pray for someone else, or just look around and just choose someone to pray for. Be challenged. Pray for someone you wouldn't normally go up to. These are 6-year-olds up to 12-year-olds. And then they did. I saw leaders being prayed for. I had a 6-year-old come up to me and ask if they could pray over me. I had a 12-year-old boy, 13-year-old boy, ask that God will give me more wisdom. I had a 10-year-old girl who said to me, what do you want me to pray for? And I said, oh, I told her I was preaching. I said, oh, you know, I wouldn't mind some clarity. She said, she looked at me, she goes, I'll pray for that, but I think I'll be praying for something else. And laid my hands on me. And I saw the move of the Holy Spirit throughout that place. There was no leader actively encouraging anyone. They were all on the ground weeping with six-year-olds praying wisdom and protection and life into them. The power of the Holy Spirit just did a number on these leaders with the expectation that kids, wanting to have kids be empowered to step out into their world, but seeing it in action was something truly amazing. And to be honest, guys, this message may get out of order, but I want this for you. You have everything in you that you need. Ephesians 1, that you have been presented and given through Jesus Christ everything you need in spiritual like terms for today. If you are one in Christ, you have what you need to make the absolute revolution a possibility. But it doesn't start outside of yourself. It starts inside now. Anyway, let's move on. Let's keep going because there's more. Did Jesus have a busy life? The fact is, if Jesus was asked the same question today, and if he had the kind of like toying around and the I guess the petty, oh, I didn't tell you what else they did this week, did I? Well, there's a lot more, all right? There's other things too. Freak me out. Jesus would actually list his day to be like crazy. I got up and I prayed. I was interrupted talking to people. I healed. I had these clowns that didn't quite get the idea that the revolution wasn't going to be an army, but it's going to be through Jesus. I had to have a preach in the temple. I had haters. Jesus said, I had haters wanting to condemn me, trip me up, and shoot me down. And then I got healed more. I healed others more. I prayed some more. I walked on water. Like if you have a look at the list of what Jesus' week would look like, even his day, it's insane. My question is, was Jesus ever tired? Yes. Oh, my goodness, he was tired. Was he ever exhausted? That is, was he ever out of breath? No. Now, this is like something that triggered this message today, because I know that I have the same spirit in me that Jesus Christ has in him. I know that I get tired and I have been exhausted. I've hit the wall. I've done things where I've put so much effort into everything and thinking, God, like, you know, take this. Why don't I get recognized? Come on, God, this is for you. Just make something happen that makes me feel like I'm important. And, you know, you say all these things. You even get to the point where you convince yourself that your daily existence in your life is all for God. And then with just a little bit of reflection or a big hard as a brick across the head, Jesus says, yeah, you've been living for yourself and you've been carrying the wrong load. Because Jesus does say that his burden is light. What is it that makes his burden light? What is it that makes him not exhausted? Let's have a nerd. I was talking to Joe, and Joe can clarify this probably better. And who's to say that I don't have to say this? I can bring Joe up and say, what do you think? Wait, just, you know. But the idea of energy, like he was talking to us that, or talking to me that, I think we've got the idea of energy wrong. Often we have this type of idea, thanks Frank Green, that I need to come and fill up my tank. And hopefully this will last me until next week. Actually, spoiler, that's actually why I bought a big Frank Green, because I hate filling it up. But the idea of filling it up and hopefully having enough that's going to be with us to give us the energy we need for whatever we're going to encounter, I think is the energy, the idea that we have. And isn't it tiring carrying around what you think you need for the week? I mean, no wonder we're exhausted. And I think it's a pretty good trick of the devil to give us things that we try to encumber ourselves with. You're going to need this, so you better carry it with you this week. You're feeling this, or you know, you've got to face that, or the challenges of this person, or this workload, or whatever. Maybe you should just like get enough energy, hold on to it until you need to expel it. But Jesus never worked that way. Jesus didn't carry with him the energy. He had the energy flow through him. The breath that he had was a continual supply, continually pouring out from him. Because he didn't run out of breath was continually poured into him. And the key, thanks Ash, was prayer. The connection that he had with God continually was why and where he was getting his continued energy from. Let's have a look. Oh, and what happens if you hold on to your water? What about it gets stale, all right? There's nothing fresh about it. And so it just leaves that yuck taste in your mouth. Let's move on. I love John 4. I love John 4 because Jesus reveals who he is. And he gives such a beautiful description of that the location for our worship, for our meeting with God is through Christ. And it's just for me, I don't know, that I have this slogan that I use called worship where your feet are. That is, wherever you put your feet is where you can worship God. So it doesn't matter where you are or what's going on, but that's another distraction. Let's keep going. After he's had a chat with the lady at the well, and guys, I know I'm giving you just general John 4. Can I encourage you? I'm not giving you scripture verses or nothing. Two things, can I go back to this camp? Two things that inspired me is these kids bringing their Bible and flicking through them. They were looking for Ephesians. Where is it? Where is it, Pastor? And we'll sit there and as a group work it out together. I loved it. But also, they were reading it. I want to encourage you to read not just a little slither that I might say, but look at it in context. Get a width and breadth of God's desire and message because there's so much more. Anyway, John 4, and I'm going to read from the verse 31. He's talking to the lady. She's going back, and this is important. She drops her bucket. I love this imagery where she came with a burden and she came to get water from the well. But when she was going back to town to talk about her encounter with Jesus, the water in the well no longer left her thirsty or no longer made her full. It was Jesus and his words that she brought back. Jeepers. All right, anyway, verse 31. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him. So they come along and they're looking around going, whoa, this is a bit odd and not very cool. What's going on? And they say, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. The will of God, this is everything that he did was always aligned to God's purposes. And every situation that he encountered that he didn't orchestrate all the time, right? Was always the opportunity to reveal that life. Always. As a man and full God, he absolutely was always prepared and always flowing with the Spirit. And it makes me realize that my peripherals, my encounters, my relationships, my work, my everything is just the things that I get to encounter so that the continual outpour of the Holy Spirit in my life gets to encounter them. Let's move on. All right. I want to have a look at the idea of who's ever, like, so I know some of you haven't been to Sunday school, but have you ever seen that illustration? I just had this here as a trigger where Jesus is the electricity and we're kind of like the light bulb kind of thing. Have you seen that? I love that idea that he's continually flowing through us. Anyway, I think I made my point with that. Pray. I also challenged the kids on the camp, you know, Jesus was healing. Jesus did all these things. But what was the one thing that they saw Jesus do more than anything else? I think I've said this before. And the kids said, seriously, first answer, pray. Like the heart of what was going on, they knew immediately. It's Jesus' praying to his Father, the continual thing that was seen over and over again, that investment into his relationship with his Father was a continual presence. And it wasn't just like, it was always wherever he was. Do you know what I mean? He withdrew to different places. He made sure he was separated from people. Even then he got interrupted. But still, he made sure that wherever he was, prayer was always the priority. His Father and understanding his Father's will was continually on his mind and working through his hands. Romans 8, and there's so much again. I love Romans 8. In fact, when I was, so I'm telling you stories while I find all of this. When I was growing up, Romans 8, right at the end, was actually the thing that held me secure. Because when I was growing up, there was a lot of confusion, anger, and hate in my family. And the fact that God loves me and there's nothing that I could do about it was something to hold on to, a pillar. But we're reading from verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Jesus Christ from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. What are you carrying that's killing you? What do you carry that's leaving you exhausted? Because Jesus did not carry the things and left them exhausted. Was that? I missed that. The idea of what Jesus wants us to live a life in is freedom and peace, salvation. The life of the Spirit continually flowing through us is not going to leave us exhausted. You could have the busiest week and feel elevated beyond your understanding, peace beyond your understanding, because you are flowing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And all it is absolutely looking forward to the encounters that you're going to have in your life. Looking forward to the hate-filled boss, the crazy driver on the way home, the pastor doesn't appreciate your expert coffee skills, I've been chewing on this for ages. I wanted to say, and I'm not finished. I have another plan to make Joe appreciate coffee. All right, but the idea is that all of these are opportunities for us to reveal Jesus Christ. I know there's a lot of things that you have in your place, in your mind, in your hearts that are wearying you, and we're not doing it very easy. We haven't got it very easy, but it's the opportunity to reveal Christ in those situations, because the Spirit will give us the life, will give us the energy, and we will never be out of breath as long as our eyes are set focused on him. Sorry. This is a picture of Miles Davis. Who doesn't know who Miles Davis is? Because we're going to start praying right now. Miles Davis was one of the greatest jazz players who revolutionized jazz and a whole bunch of different forms of music, some of which we take for granted. His famous album, Kinda Blue, and he just did a number of things. But there was one encounter that I thought was really cool, was that his piano player, Herbie Hancock, at the time — who doesn't know Herbie Hancock, by the way? Oh, goodness. I know, I do feel like laying hands on you guys very swiftly. But for education purposes, I'm here to help you out. Please talk to me about... Anyway, Herbie Hancock was playing. Now, Miles Davis, to get into Miles Davis' band was a big deal. Every single one of the musicians that ever went and played in his various and multiple bands all became famous musicians themselves. Unbelievable. I mean, every single one of them. Anyway, so Herbie Hancock has this gig and he's playing behind Miles Davis solo. For those who don't know, that's a trumpet. I wasn't sure. And Herbie Hancock is playing the chords and then gong. He makes the most incredibly wrong chord, a mistake, and he dies inside. He's telling this story. He says, I died. I didn't know what to do. And Miles Davis is doing a solo and then he pauses. And then he plays notes around the chord to make it right, so that it becomes beautiful music. This challenges me, because even though he was not a Christian at all, but the idea challenges me that what ugly comes my way that I can't, with the power of the Holy Spirit, change to something beautiful. Do you know what I mean? You're going to get ugly words. You're going to get ugly news. You're going to get ugliness and all forms of things. The idea is that we are empowered to turn those things into something beautiful. And yeah, you're going to get reactions. You're going to get a countercultural aggression. You're going to get other people who will be crying. What is it that's different? What isn't working against you? Why can I not pull you down? Because we who are saved in Jesus Christ have the power of the Holy Spirit to make beautiful. This is the thing that I want my life to be like. And I'm holding on to it this week because I'm afraid, and maybe you too, that 5 minutes after this service, it'll like slip. Do you know what I mean? I pray that it'll be a continual thing in my life where I'll be aware of his presence regardless of what interacts with me. Ephesians 4. In Ephesians, at this point, Paul's starting to say, okay, you're in Christ, the Spirit is working through you, but we've got something to do. We've got some work to do. I know, and I've been guilty of this, where you've got some guy preaching up the front, and because at least he's prayed for a few minutes to get a message out, more than that, sorry, I'm just going to say, that we expect the results to come from this stage, this pulpit. The fact is that the results start with the Holy Spirit in you. Yes. Do you mean? You are impacted and empowered, but we need to think. Our minds need to be changed and renewed in a different way of thinking in accordance to the Scripture, in accordance to the Spirit. From Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, this is Paul talking, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. I always trip up. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. I want to flick down for a sec. There's a lot. Get into it. But verse 25, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth to his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry. Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity for the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with everyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God Christ forgave you. Is the burden you're carrying different or the same as what those in the world are carrying? Can they tell the difference between what we're struggling through and what they're struggling through? Or is there something different? The way that we step forward, the way that we interact with others, the way that we forgive, the way that we treat each other's here is a megaphone, is the amplification that sends a different message. And the fact is that I know it's hard because sometimes you just, okay, big confession, but I've got a bit of a dichotomy. I love the energy that I get from people, if only I didn't have to talk to people. All right, I don't understand how it works, but I find that like I've got to work at more interacting with others so that the love of Jesus Christ works through me to another person. You are loved. I want to encourage you. You are absolutely precious and beautiful, and I don't always appreciate that, but with the Holy Spirit active in me, I want to make sure that what Jesus is doing in me and transforming in me is also reflected onto you. But there is still, oh yes, more. Going back to my vision, 1 Thessalonians 5. We'll finish soon. said every preacher forever. Verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, sisters, Hope Central, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live in him. Therefore, encourage one another, build one another up, just as you are doing. To be present, to be aware of God's continual flowing through us in every situation, seen and not seen, is to remain awake. Is to remain present, like to be sober, the clarity of understanding that every opportunity is the opportunity to give glory to God and have that expressed and in love for others. I really want to encourage you, because I know it doesn't take long to talk to someone for them to feel tired, and being tired is fine. But to be exhausted and out of breath, guys, think about what you're carrying. What are you bringing, holding around with you? Everything that Christ gives you is to be given away. Everything that comes from him is to be pushed out onto others. And his mercy and his continual flow will continue fill you up, continually fill you up. The youth group, Overflow Youth, was named so that it was like a picture, an example of the overflowing works of Christ in the young people. Kids in Christ was named because we wanted people and the kids to know that they were in Jesus Christ, giving them all their identity. Hope Central, because our hope is in Jesus Christ, and we want the community to know that it's his works that save. And I like, there's a message that Pastor Kevin preached years and years ago, it stuck with me, that God always works through people. It comes from here first. You are active agents in the Holy Spirit, and God wants to work through you to be active on others. My heart is to live a beautiful life. I can't do it, and I don't want to do it. I want my life to be a representation of Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. I don't want to hold on to my water bottle anymore. Actually, I don't. Students carry it around for me. But I definitely want to make sure that everything that I do is for his glory. A beautiful life is what we're talking about. Guys, I want to try this. Like, I've already gave you the spoiler of what I saw, and I'm not expecting a repetition, but I definitely want people to have prayer today. I want people to have prayer, and I don't have what's in me to pray for you. Honestly, I'm going to fumble and stumble and honestly pray harder to remember your name than I am to remember what I'm praying for. Can I ask and encourage you? Let's pray for each other. All right. I'm going to ask as Seth comes up to play some guitar. I want to encourage you to think about what it is that is your burden. Because Jesus says if you lay it down at the cross, he'll take it away and he'll give you something that's light, refreshing, clean, free, so that you can be the impact that you want to be, that you need to be in our world. And if you're unchurched, if you've never come to church and you're wondering, who is this guy talking about Jesus or what's going on, guys, feel free to watch, but feel free too, like, to have your friends pray for you. I know it's weird, but let's start being active agents in praying for each other. Now, I did actually have, I want to pray. I don't want you guys necessarily to come up here. Oh, go for it, Seth. Like, smash that out quietly. I want to pray for people. I want to pray for encouragement. I want to pray for your protection. And I want to pray that you will go out of here feeling empowered through a Holy Spirit that is continually flowing and active in your lives. Anyway, let's pray now. Because this is the part that I'm not very good at. Let's pray now, and then let's start praying for each other. And I'll tell you what we'll do. Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you, Jesus, that your Holy Spirit is active and that is active in us. And God, I know sometimes we forget. Maybe we came here forgetting. Maybe we came here empty and feeling as though we needed to be refueled to have enough to get through the week. God, I pray that our thinking changes to be like yours. God, let us get everything out. Let us drop everything. Let us be emptied so that your Spirit will work in us and work through us. God, I pray that if there's anyone here that is seriously suffering through exhaustion and just don't know what it means to let go or how to let go, Father, I pray that they come and get prayer, that they seek someone else out, that the answer is in you, Father, and that they will let go. The Holy Spirit, you will do the work and that people will be set free. Jesus, I pray for protection for this group of people. I pray for encouragement that if they don't feel valued, their value will be found in you. I pray that they'll be blessed, they increase, and that they see in their peripheral the vision that is just to the side, opportunities where they can glorify your name. Let the unseen be worthy to be praised and glorified to you. Let the things that are seen be opportunities where they can reveal Christ. Jesus, I pray that we make a beautiful statement because only Jesus Christ creates beautiful. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.